thank our substitute organist today, Margaret Ann Milne, for supporting us this morning while Kat is home visiting with her family for the holiday. And thank you so much for that beautiful prelude. The meditation this morning is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. Let that sort of stick with us today as we think about things, and I think it'll lead us to some wonderful places. Good morning to everyone. And church family, hallelujah that we're all here this morning in spite of the challenges. It's wonderful to have you here, whether in fact you're at present here or whether you're listening to us through the streamed word at home or perhaps even on the road today. It is wonderful to have you all here and to be joined with us in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a special recognition today. And Tony, where are you? There you are. I'll yield to our good brother, Tony Hubbard.
Pastor Phil, would you join me up here, please? Pastor Phil, you've been with us almost 2 years now, and leading us in worship, being moderator of session, doing other pastoral duties, and it's our tradition here at WPC to thank our pastor this time of year, so we offer you this little thank you, and we appreciate everything you're doing, and we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and thanks for everything you're doing. Okay?
First of all, I want to say thank you. And secondly, I was only supposed to be here for a week. And so it seems as though this is a good time to reemphasize the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer that we must allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. Thank you all so very much for your kindness. Thank you much.
We welcome the Dolan family, who's coming forward to light the Advent candles for us. These young ladies have already done a great job this morning in that regard. Thank you.
Sometimes when we are trying new, or when we are faced with a difficult decision, or when we want to celebrate something, or when we just feel lost and alone and uncertain about life, the universe and everything, we need a blessing. We don't always think of it that way or word it like that. We say we need advice or support or companions or someone to come along beside us and lift us up again so we can see more than the tops of our shoes. We seek a blessing.
for many of us, we go home, we ask mom, we talk to dad, or brothers and sisters, close friends, those we grew up with, those who know us best. We want them alongside. We want to be in their presence. Somehow, we know that being there, being home, will make all things better. Maybe it won't be fixed or solved or wished away, but at least we won't be alone. We seek a blessing.
Mary, faced with an incomprehensible burden and gift, ran to Cousin Elizabeth's house looking for someone who knew a little of what she was going through, looking for a place to hide until the reality of her condition could become something real. And she received a blessing. The prophet Micah spoke of a blessing coming to an unexpected place, an unassuming town. Yet by God's grace, it would become the means through which God would bless the whole world. Bethlehem, the little town of blessing. We seek a blessing.
We light these candles, the candles of hope, of peace, of joy, and today of love, as a sign that we know blessing and we know waiting for blessing to be something felt and something lived. We light these candles as a sign that we still seek a blessing. It is time to go home.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to the Dolan family for leading us in this portion of our worship service. Right now, I want to invite Elaine Wilbert to come forward. Where are you, Elaine? Oh, there you are. And Elaine is going to recognize our 50-year members.
Good morning. We, the members of WPC, would like to honor our 50-year members. Abby Anderson was very excited about her 50-year membership, because of the new COVID variant, she was concerned about going out into public, so she be asked to be recognized at a later date. But I would still like to honor her today for her 51 years of faithful membership here. Abby married Chaz Anderson at Colgate Rochester Divinity Chapel in 1962. The Andersons joined Webster Presbyterian in December of 1970. They have two children, Kirsten and David, who both live in Massachusetts. Abby has five grandchildren. Her daughter, Kirsten Bash, has two sons, Nathan and Adam. Her son, David, has three children, Jack, Molly, and Addie. Abby credits Spencer and Gail Radnich for bringing them to Webster Presbyterian and many warm and welcoming people. She is a longtime member of King's Circle, served as a deacon once, held multiple Women's Association offices. Abby remembers being very busy leading the funeral reception committee. Through the years, Abby has been an active participant in several small groups, which she said has really been the basis of her faith. Thank you, Abby, for being a faithful member of Webster Presbyterian Church. And I'm hoping and assuming that she's listening to us on Zoom. So now I'd like to call up Thelma Leonard. Thelma was brave enough to come out. We could be there. Thelma, Leonard, and Frank were married in 1956 at the Glenside, Pennsylvania Methodist Church, which was a combined Methodist and Dutch Reformed congregation. Thelma joined Webster Presbyterian with her husband Frank in September of 1970, so she's a 50-plus-1 member. They have three children, Mark, Nancy, and Michael, and Nancy Granger, of course, is a member here. Thelma also has five grandchildren. Thelma has lived in Webster for 51 years. They visited several churches in Webster. She said they joined WPC because Nancy and Gail Thomas Galen had become good friends. They lived on Lincolnshire Road with many other WPC members, which they referred to as Presbyterian Row. Thelma has participated in many ways throughout her membership, including women's Bible study, secretary of women's association, a deacon, a volunteer in nursery care, and in the kitchen to provide snacks for vacation Bible school. She is also an active member of Naomi Circle and a small group. She has many good memories of big Christmas parties and family events at the church. Also, she remembers many pastors, especially Reverend Clyde Mellinger, who made her feel very comfortable and welcome to events and to church. We honor you, Thelma, for being a wonderful, faithful member of WPC.
Thank you so much.
So good to be here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So next, I'd like to honor Bob and Jackie Anderson, but unfortunately, Jackie is playing bells at Bethany, so she couldn't be here today. So Bob, you get to come up by yourself. So Bob and Jackie were married in 1965 in Fort Fairfield, Maine. They moved to Webster in 1968 when Bob came to work at Kodak. They have two children, Charlie and Christina, and now they have three grandchildren, Gavin, Isabel, and Domenico. And Domenico, of course, attends regularly with Bob and Jackie. After visiting several Webster churches, they came to WPC and felt the members were very warm and welcoming. They also found many of their neighbors from High Vista Trail. Jackie has directed the Bell Choir for more than 30 years. Through the years, she has always encouraged the young and the adults to participate, which has led to the growth in the program. She also led a bell choir at Bethany Presbyterian. Jackie is a faithful member of Ruth Circle and a small group. She served one term on session. Her memory was that her daughter Christina and my daughter Amy were baptized on the same day, right here by Clyde Mellinger. Bob was also a very active member at WPC. He was moderator twice of the Board of Trustees. Bob was a deacon for 2 3-year terms and an elder for one term on the Music and Worship Committee. He remembers being part of the hiring of Sandy Gay, our organist that we had for many years. He is also has fond memories of church clam bakes, singing in the choir, and highway cleanups. Bob has also played bells and been part of the men's group. Of course, he also attends small group with Jackie. Thank you to the Andersons for all you have done for the church during your 50 years of membership. So can you take this to Jackie? Congratulations. I'd also like to recognize the Klustermans. I realize wearing a mask, you can't and turn the pages, so I guess it's a habit I have. So Ron and Judy Klusterman couldn't come today because of medical issues, but I had a very nice conversation with Jackie. She's a very devout Christian and relies on her faith and prayers to get her through. She sees God, and she sees God in everything and knows God is in control. She appreciates the prayers from the congregation. Unfortunately, they were not able to be here today. The Klustermans have been married for 60 years. They have a son, a daughter, and twin girls, and 8 grandchildren. Judy grew up in Webster and moved back with Ron to raise her family and to be closer to her extended family. They were drawn to WPC in 1970 because there was a warm, welcoming, real family feeling of caring for one another. Judy has many fond memories of the church and pastors throughout the years. She is very thankful for the support during times of illness and the death of their young daughter. She remembers attending many family night suppers, Women's Association, and the beginning of Wednesday night super suppers. The Klustermans are a blessing to our church family. And I will be taking roses to them and sending a rose to Abby. We'd also like to recognize Sandy Stone, Bob and Kay Joslin as 51-year members, and Doris Teemerson as a 50-year member, but they were not able to attend today. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. I just want to take a moment, and you may or may not know the Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Jr. He was the late pastor of the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, New York, and he was famous for the statement, "Keep the faith, baby." He said it with a little more pizzazz than that, but keep the faith, baby. And I just want to say to our 50-year members and to everyone here today, I honor you for keeping the faith for all these years and maintaining faithful to the work of this church. So again, to our 50-year-plus members and all of our members, I simply say to all of you, keep the faith, baby.
Let us unite in the call to worship. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Let us worship God. Our first hymn is O Come, Emmanuel. Let us unite in the prayer of confession. Most holy God, in Christ you pour out your mercy to forgive our transgressions. Hear us now as we confess our sin. We err in our judgment of what you want from us. We seek to appease you with offerings, earn your favor by doing good deeds, or garner a blessing through making some sacrifice. Forgive us our nature that is prone to buy favor, and in Christ restore us to a right relationship with you. The assurance of pardon. Micah foresees the coming one, who shall stand and feed the flock. The people shall dwell secure in the majesty of God's name. Christ is our peace, and we can dwell secure in the knowledge that through him we are forgiven. Please stand, if able, for the Gloria Patri.
There are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same God who achieves his purpose through all of them. Each one is given the gift of the Spirit to use for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ and individually members of him. Though we have different gifts, Tyler, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make God's church useful in the world, and we call men, women, and young men and women to faith, so that in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, our Creator. With our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work, some as ministers of the word, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries. Whoever among you wants to be great must become servant of all. And if that person wants to be first among you, that person must serve all of humanity. So just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life to set others free. Mrs. Clark.
You, Tyler Lenz, who has been elected by the congregation to serve as youth elder at Webster Presbyterian Church.
Thank you, thank you. Now, Tyler, I want you to continue to face the church family, and there will be some questions. These are questions from the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church USA. Don't be afraid of them, but you will answer each of them with either I do or I will. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the Church Universal and God's Word to you?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the authoritative witness of God's Word?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of the church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by these confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by the confessions of the church? Will you, Will you be governed by church, by the church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church, and in your ministry? Will you try to show love and justice of Jesus Christ? Now, I have a question for the congregation, okay? Do we, members of the church, accept Tyler as elder, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? No, they got your back. Do we agree to pray for him, to encourage him, to respect their decisions, and to follow as he guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? Amen. Now, traditionally this service includes a laying on of hands. And COVID requires that we stay, and what that means is a whole bunch of people get around you, put their hands on you, and pray for you. Now, let me just tell you that this is something that goes back to as far as Peter. So, in a way, it's a connection. Everybody who had their hands laid on was in turn had their hands laid on by somebody as far back as 2,000 years. So, in many ways, it connects us, you know, with the history of our faith. So, I'm going to invite those who are ordained here to come forward and form a socially distant circle while we do a COVID-style laying on of hands. So please let me invite those who are ordained to come forward. Under ordinary circumstances, okay. So this is all the love you have, okay? This is all the love and all the support you have. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, we call upon you for your blessings. We call upon you for your love. We call upon you now to strengthen Tyler's heart and to gladden his heart, and to give him a heart that will indeed serve the community with intelligence, imagination, and love. We pray, dear Lord, that we, your people, will be able to support him in this ministry and trust his judgment as the leaders of the church in a vote have said that we shall trust your judgment and your leadership. Bless Tyler now. It's in Jesus' name. And for his sake, all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Tyler, I invite you to socially distant and greet your church family. And let us also at this time take a moment and pass the sign of God's peace and the sign of God's love to one another. Let us pass the peace of God. Thank you.
Joseph. Hey there. It's good to have you, brother. Before we sing the hymn, which will be the Song of Mary, I just want to reiterate, I think you saw the announcements up earlier, but in particular, I want to call your attention to the adult ed program today, which has two wonderful skits with some of the most amazing thespians you could ever picture. We brought them in under special contract just for this particular, so you do not want to leave till you have enjoyed that today. So. With that, if we could enjoy this beautiful hymn, Song of Mary. scripture reading, the first scripture reading today from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. It's subtitled, The Ruler from Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore we shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of the kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Thank you, choir. Thank you so much. Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And they read as follows. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God, and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people all said together, Amen. Amen. This morning, my intention is to be brief. We'll see how that works out. There are events in our lives that we celebrate with joy. Some events, just simply knowing that they will occur, bring joy to us. Think for a moment about the anticipated arrival of a new family member. It is enjoyed and anticipated by parents and aunts and uncles and cousins. All look forward to the birth of a new child. I have two children, and before each were born, there were celebrations, baby showers, no gender reveal party, but a baby shower. And in anticipation of the birth of my children, friends came to celebrate. They bought gifts, the kinds of things that are needed when there is an infant in the home. You know, diapers, blankets, safety devices, beer, and wine. The kind of things that are needed when there's an infant in the home. Most of my friends call themselves Christians, but not one of them thought to bring gold, frankincense, or myrrh. Advent is a season in the life of the church when we should be celebrating, we should be rejoicing. We should celebrate what God is about to do with the coming reign of Jesus Christ on earth, and we can celebrate what God has already done. In our Bible lesson today, Mary provides us with an example of just this kind of celebrating. Our Bible lesson is often called Mary's Song. We've done different versions of that already this morning. But this morning, I want to call it Mary's Song of Celebration. And I want you to note that Mary gives us an example of a faith that is personal, a faith that is public, and a faith that is collective. Mary's faith, Mary's song, is an expression of a faith that is personal, public, and collective. To sum it up, Mary is singing not just about what God has done for her. Mary is singing about what God has done for Israel, and Mary is singing about what God has done for her community. And if you know Mary's song, Mary sings her song after a visit from an angel. A visit from the angel Gabriel, who says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." The angel Gabriel tells Mary, "You have found favor with God." Now, I've preached this text over the years many times, and one of the themes that I have drawn from this text that I like most often, and I often share the theme, listen to the angels. Mary could have responded to her situation in a lot of ways. Mary chose to listen to the angel Gabriel, who tells her, "You have found favor with God." Now, each and every one of us, or at least I can speak for myself, each and every one of us should turn off some of the scripts we have playing in our heads and listen out for that angel saying, "You have found favor with God." So I like that theme, listen to the angels. Today, however, I'm going to move forward with the theme, celebrate. Mary sings her song after the angel tells her. First, the angel says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom shall never end. Now, Mary sings her song because Mary has found out that it's time to start celebrating. It's time to start celebrating that Jesus, the Son of the Most High, whom the Lord will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, Mary brings her celebration, or begins her celebration, with what we call a song. And she declares, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of this servant, and from now on all generations will be called blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is God's name." Now, this is the personal part of Mary celebrating her faith in her God. Mary celebrates and expresses her personal gratitude to God and declares, "The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." But what I like about Mary is the unselfish nature of her faith and how she praises God. Mary is pregnant, and with the birth of Jesus, God is about to perform a great work through Mary. But I like the unselfish nature of her faith. Mary has a faith that remembers the past relationship with God and declares, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to his fathers." Mary is singing about what God has done for the community. He has helped his servant Israel. I say again, I like Mary's faith. When Mary celebrates what God has done, she remembers to celebrate that God is active in the collective life of the people. And I'm going to exercise a bit of what we preachers call homiletical license and to tell you that Mary would have learned a few things in Sunday school. The young Mary remembers that God parted the Red Sea. Mary remembers that God spoke through prophets and declared that justice should roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Mary's faith is unselfish. She notes that God has helped his servant Israel, the community, and that God is active in the life of others. She remembers from Sunday school that God was with Daniel in the lion's den. And she celebrates. She celebrates that God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Mary has a song of celebration and declares, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary was glad that God was mindful of the humble state of his servant. And Mary celebrates with song. It's always time to celebrate God. The season of Advent and Christmas is a season to celebrate our God, our help in ages past, and our hope of age to come. This is a good time to remember and celebrate that the Lord is my light and my salvation. A good time to remember that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Celebrate that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We can celebrate like the Apostle Paul, that even though we may be hard-pressed on every side, we are not crushed. We may be persecuted, but not abandoned. We may be struck down, but not destroyed. Mary remembers that the Lord is our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. We are in a season of celebration. We are in a season when we should follow the example Mary sets and allow our souls to glorify the Lord. Allow our spirits to rejoice in God our Savior. I close with this. The great orchestral work of George Frideric Handel, we all know as the Messiah, has a song in it with the call to us to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Now, the song does not simply give us a call to rejoice, it gives us a reason to rejoice. Often the voice of a soprano accompanied by the strings of an orchestra, the report of the song will be, "He is the righteous Savior, and he shall speak. He shall speak peace, peace. He shall speak peace." So that's my report for the day. Be like Mary and allow your spirit to celebrate. Allow your spirits to rejoice in God our Savior. And I only ask now that the church would say, Amen. Let us unite our voices now in reciting aloud together the Good News Creed. This is the good news which we have received. I invite you now to share any joys or concerns or any prayer requests with the church family. I want to take a sad note about the passing of one of the former ministers here. She was here from 2010 to 2011. She went by the name Lisette, and I've forgotten already her last name. But some of you guys remember Lisette?
Again.
What just happened? I'm getting waved at. All right. Oh, but at this point, I want to invite any, solicit any prayer requests that may be among you. So if you have a request, just raise your hand.
Wanda and my mother's Jean Cameron fell on Friday night, and she got 10 stitches in her head. So she definitely needs prayers for healing and for comfort. She can't touch it, and we can't wash her hair. So Wanda cleaned it up really good, but it still was a pretty good gift.
Was that Wanda or your mother who fell?
Jean Cameron.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm requesting prayer. As everybody know, I lost my brother a couple weeks and two brothers within the last several months. And I just want to thank the church for the love, support, the donations that they helped me go home to grieve the losses of my brother. I really need prayer. I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time dealing with the grieving. I don't know how to grieve, but I'm asking God to lead me and guide me, and I'm asking the church to pray for me. Thank you.
Are there others? Okay. All right. Whatever may be on your heart or your mind that you leave unspoken now, you can trust that God knows precisely what is in your heart and in your mind. And just as God numbers the hairs upon our head, God knows the inner reaches of each and every one of our souls. You know, this morning, the Spirit said to me that I ought to share with you the words of a hymn that we don't sing it until around Pentecost, but I just want to share with you these words, and then we'll have our moment for prayer. The words are, "Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Oh, raise our thoughts from things below, from vanities and toys. Then shall we with fresh courage go to reach eternal joys. Awake our souls to joyful songs. Let pure devotion rise till praise employs our thankful tongues and doubt forever dies. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, come shed abroad the Savior's love, and that shall kindle ours." This is a song written by Isaac Watts in 1707, four centuries ago. And it has, I'm sure, as much meaning today as it had in those four centuries ago when it was written. Let us bow our heads now for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, we come before you once again, eyes closed, minds quieted, focusing and reaching out to you, reaching out to you to give you thanks, reaching out to you to give you praise. To praise you, dear God, for the food that you have given to us on this day. To praise you, dear God, that we, each and every one of us, woke up clothed in our right minds with a reasonable portion of health and strength. Praising you, dear God, for the gift of food, the gift of shelter, the gift of loved ones who will come to our aid should we need to call upon them. Thankful, dear Lord, that even if we have no one to call on, that we can call on you. We can say, "Dear Lord, help." But before we enter into a moment where we reach out saying, "Help, dear Lord," we just want to say thank you, and we want to praise you for the gift that you gave us that came to us by way of your servant Mary. For the gift you gave us in your Son, Jesus the Christ. So yes, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to walk among us, to teach us how to live, and to be the bridge that closes the gap between time and eternity. Thank you, dear God, for helping us through Jesus the Christ to know that we are not creatures of time, but we indeed are eternal spirits that will eventually be welcomed into one of the many rooms in your mansions. So, dear Lord, we call upon you now, seeking your healing power. We have many, dear Lord, who have broken bones and broken bodies and in some cases even broken hearts, dear Lord. But we know, dear Lord, that we can reach out to you in prayer and say, "Dear Lord, heal, hear my humble cry." Bless us, dear Lord, to speak to you, to seek and to embrace the peace that you can give us that passes all understanding, a peace that will carry us through illness, through stitches, and through grief, a peace, dear Lord, that passes all understanding, a peace that the world can't give us and that the world can't take away. So we just want to say thank you, dear Lord, because you know, dear God, what each and every one of us needs. And we trust now that we can leave our prayers and our concerns with each and every one of you. thankful that your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say this in all prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, and it's for his sake. The people said together, Amen. The disciples looked to Jesus and they said, Master, how shall we pray? And Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
And at this time, I just simply want to remind everyone that you can mail your offerings into the church office or click the Give button on the church's website. And now for the doxology. Gracious God, we thank you for these gifts that your people have brought back to you, and we ask, dear Lord, that you would bless these gifts, that you would multiply them, and that you would add to them, and see to it, dear God, that they're used to build your kingdom here on earth. It's in Jesus' name. For his sake, the people all said together, Amen. Amen. Let us remain standing now for this closing hymn of this Sunday morning before Christmas. Hymn number 11, O Lord, how shall I meet you? Hymn number 11. Thank you. brought you down to me. We dismiss ourselves with these words, that you should know that the ever-present mystery we call God is in your past forgiving you, is in your present loving you, and in your future meeting you. And may the blessing of the source of life, love, and hope, the word of life, compassion and wisdom, and the breath of life, grace and truth, surround, sustain, and surprise you this day and all your days. And together, the people of God all said together, Amen.